the Your Mind Matters podcast, a show where I chat all things mental health, everyday wellness, fitness, and share my journey to help you along yours. I'm your host, Natalie. It's a beautiful sunny day here in Denver, Colorado, and I am in a fabulous mood. It's Friday. I'm going to go get my Friday coffee after this, take Winnie to the dog park. Tristan doesn't have practice after school today. I'm just in the best mood. Like, I feel like today is going to be the best Friday of the year so far. This warm weather puts me in a mood. I can't even describe how good it feels to come out of like winter hibernation into weather like this. I'm looking outside past my patio door and I can see that the grass is green. A lot of the trees are starting to bud here and springtime is so nice, a nice sense of renewal. I know I did a spring clean your life episode, which was really helpful and I liked it a lot, but I feel like it wasn't springtime yet. Like, I was just hoping every once in a while we would get a warm day and I was like, oh yes, spring is here, but it really wasn't here yet. It is now and I'm so excited. I also discovered this really cool park to take Winnie to that has like crazy amount of trails and you can let your dog off the leash, and there weren't that many people there last night at sunset, so I'm hoping when I go like midday today that there will be even less people, and it's just so nice when he can sniff around and explore and I feel safe taking her there. I have a lot of apprehension taking her to dog parks and stuff because there's just a lot of potential for conflict between dogs and owners and all those things, and it just really stresses me out. But that is not what today's episode is about. Today's episode is just kind of an update of what's been going on with me since I got my birth control taken out. It's been 2 months and a couple days, 2 months and 4 days to be exact, since I got my hormonal birth control implant taken out. I had Nexplanon in my arm. And if you haven't listened to the Bye Bye Birth Control episode, I would recommend pausing right here, rewind a little bit, go listen to that episode. It gives a lot of the basis of why I got it taken out. I will touch on it here, but I'm not going to elaborate on it too much because all that information is already there. And for those of you who have listened to it, I don't want you to listen to me repeat myself too much. So I'm going to do my best to remember what I covered in that episode and kind of add on from what's changed since then. But basically, let me just give you a quick recap if you're not gonna go listen to that episode, or if you did and you just want a refresher. So I got put on birth control right before I went away to college. So summer 2016, going into my freshman year of college, I got the Nexplanon put in my arm. And the reason that I decided on the Nexplanon, or I should say my mom and I decided on the Nexplanon, was she kind of was like, hey, I trust you to be smart and responsible, but I would have some peace of mind knowing that you were on birth control when you go away to college. And I was like, cool, that sounds great. I was just about to start dating Tristan. We were like hanging out pretty frequently, but I don't think we were official at that point. But regardless, I was like, cool, I feel like I'm about to have this boyfriend. I'd really like to be on birth control because I don't want to be pregnant. And that was kind of my only focus. I was like, I do not want to be pregnant. That is it. That is why I'm getting on this birth control. I didn't really have like crazy severe periods, but I never had a regular period growing up. Like, I think I got my first period when I was in seventh or eighth grade. And I never had it like once a month for 5 days, regular bleed, any of those things. Sometimes it'd be twice a month. Sometimes I wouldn't have one for a few months. So I had an irregular period, but to be honest, that was kind of the dream because I was like, cool, I don't have to get my period every month. And when I do, it's not that severe like other girls that I went to school with that were like complaining about it. So I kind of thought that I won the lottery there. But I got put on birth control, Nexplanon implant, July of 2016. And if you don't know, Nexplanon implants go in the inner part of your arm, like your upper arm. I'm looking at my scar right now. It's just like a little, looks like a little brown dot on my skin from where I had it implanted and removed. The implant process was super easy, removal process super easy. They numb you up, whatever. But the reason I decided to get the implant and not go with the pills is because me and my mom were both like, listen, we know that I'm not going to be able to take these every day. I'm very forgetful. And at that point in life, I just didn't feel responsible enough to take them every day. I really liked the peace of mind that Nexplanon gave me. I was like, cool, it's in my arm. I don't have to worry about it. And it didn't hurt like an IUD. Like, the insertion didn't hurt like an IUD potentially could, or like, you know, I feel like we've all heard the horror stories of IUDs and how bad they hurt getting put in and potentially falling out of you. So implant it was, and they last for 3 years. So after 3 years, you have to get it taken out and get a new one put in. So that is what I did. Summer of 2019, I got it taken out and put back in, or a new one put back in. And that means that this summer, this July, I was due to get it taken out and a new one put in, or some other form of birth control. And in 2019, I just want to give this little backstory so it kind of matches up with the issues I was having this time around. The last 6 months of my first one, so like between December and January through the rest of 20, like let's say January 2019 through July 2019, I was having kind of like weird erratic weight changes, not severe because I was like super strict with my diet and workout regimen. But I was having some like weight changes that felt like they were out of my control. And the biggest symptom I saw myself having was hormonal acne along my chin. And I wouldn't get like super bad breakouts, but I would get like basically like cystic acne under my skin. And then it would go away pretty quickly, but it would leave these big dark marks. And I was very insecure about it. And so I started supplementing with like, I used Alani New Balance. I used a couple different like hormonal supplements. I don't remember what the other ones were called. That's why I'm calling out Balance. I'm not saying it's a bad product, but for me, it didn't work while I was on birth control. And it just made my skin so much worse. I was having pimples all over my face, like so bad. I don't know if I have any still up on Instagram. They might be in my skincare highlight, but I did a lot of microneedling after that to help it, and they went away until, so I got my birth control switched out 2019. Until like I want to say September, October, November time of this year, I started having really bad inflammation in my body. And I don't just mean like, oh, I'm a little bit puffy. I mean like my stomach would be distended after I would eat anything. My joints ached so much after I would work out. Like they just felt so inflamed. Like it hurt to bend my knees. My wrists hurt. I couldn't like do any sort of plank or anything, like any weight bearing exercise on my wrist. It hurt to do yoga. My ankles would hurt so bad. And like, that is just a sign that there's a lot of inflammation in your joints. I felt really puffy. I was gaining weight, and I, to be fair, I wasn't like, I'm not tracking my macros anymore, but mentally, I am so much happier here in Colorado than I ever was in Ohio. I feel like I'm taking better care of myself with my diet and exercise. I'm really trying to listen to my body, you know, all the things that come with like being more intuitive with your body. And less, I'm just really at the ending, like the last phases of transitioning from being like really strict with my training and my macros and like all of those things. I just wanted to be more intuitive, not just with my eating, but with my life and kind of feeling my body change as I get older, because being 21 and being 23 are two very different things. When you're a woman, your body is still developing and it's super normal for your body to change, which if you're listening to me say these things and you're like, I want to believe you, but it's really hard for me to get to that mindset, a great episode to listen to would be the second episode of this podcast, My Body is the Least Interesting Thing About Me. I talk a lot about body changes and how to deal with them and my experience and all of those things, but we're not going to deep dive on that today in this episode. But basically, I just felt like I was really out of control of what my body was doing, even though I felt like I was treating it the best that I ever have with better foods, whole foods, different types of training. I was resting a lot more, like really trying to be more well-rounded in my wellness habits than I was in college, where I was very strict and regimented. So it was just really frustrating. And I also had an incredibly low sex drive, like so low. I don't want to get too personal or, you know, graphic, but I was just like not into the idea of having sex. And also, if you don't know, my boyfriend and I moved in together in August of this year, and I had to have like a discussion with him because I'm like, look, this isn't really anything you're doing. It's just like, I don't feel sexy. I don't feel like I want to partake in intimate sexual things with you, like, or even with myself. Like, it was just really a new feeling for me, especially in my relationship. We've been together for almost 6 years now, and I've never had this problem before. And so I started kind of connecting the dots that, okay, one, pretty obvious, this has got to have something to do with my birth control, because I'm getting hormones pumped into my body that my body is not making naturally. And this is also worth mentioning, the Nexplanon implant does not have any estrogen in it. It only has progesterone, which is the synthetic version of progesterone. And so I don't exactly remember, and I don't want to mess it up and say the wrong thing, so I will let you do your own research if you want to. But estrogen and progesterone are the two hormones in our body that like regulate our menstrual cycle, and they each do different things. They're responsible for different things, but progesterone only, I do know, according to my gynecologist, there is a higher likelihood that it could like make you feel more depressed, because the estrogen isn't in there balancing it out, and having extra progesterone or progesterone pumped into your body also fucks with your natural estrogen levels. So it, you know, it's kind of sticky and messy, and everyone is different, but those are some of the things that I was experiencing. So anyways, I was connecting the dots that like, hey, the last 6 months of my first Nexplanon implant, I was having similar symptoms to right now, although right now they're worse than they were then, besides maybe the skin thing. But I was really kind of connecting the dots, like, this last 6 months really seems to be fucking me up in a lot of different ways. And I had kind of toyed with the idea of going off birth control, but I was really afraid because, again, I don't want to get pregnant. I have no intentions of having children right now or potentially ever. I don't know if I want kids or not. I know that I don't want them for the next like 5 years at least. So I was really worried about that. And I just felt like because of the way that we are educated as women, not only in school, but I feel like at least from what I'm getting from most people reaching out and sharing their stories or asking questions, our doctors don't give us a lot of information about what we as women, like what our options are in terms of birth control. And I was talking to my mom about this because I also, in that Bye Bye Birth Control episode, I talked about how my gynecologist was like really just kind of nasty towards me about being off birth control and telling me like, oh my, you're gonna get pregnant, like you must be on birth control of some form and whatever. Like she really was just trying to guilt me into getting another form of birth control, and I was not really interested. I said, look, I want to see how my body reacts with it off, like with no hormones. And there's also forms of non-hormonal birth control like IUDs, but there are a lot of risks with that too. And I just kind of wanted to be a little bit more risk-free about what I was putting in my body. And that is where I turned to and found what is called natural cycles. It's also called natural family planning. And basically what it is taking your basal temperature every single morning. You get a little thermometer, you stick it in the back of your mouth under your tongue for like 30 seconds and it reads your temperature. And I, like I said, I'm using Natural Cycles, which is an app where you can put all the data in, and over time, the more data you enter, the more accurate it is. But basically it helps you see when you're fertile and when you're going to have your period. And something that I did not know prior to getting my birth control taken out, I also listened to the audiobook Beyond the Pill, which I found like semi-helpful. It had a lot of information in it, but it was more geared towards women who are on the pill. She doesn't talk a lot about other types of birth control, like progesterone only, which I was more interested in. So I'd definitely like to do some more research on that. But I found out about this natural family planning, and I learned that as women, we are only fertile 5 to 6 days out of the month. So let me say that again. You can only get pregnant 5 to 6 days out of the month. Again, everyone's different. Some might be a few days more, some might be a few days less, but regardless, I don't see why I was on birth control for 6 years straight when, even if I also don't have a regular period, so that's a whole nother layer of the onion there, but I don't see why I was on birth control for 6 years straight when I could only potentially get pregnant 5 to 6 days out of the month. That actually blows my mind. And so I was just like, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. I'm ready to at least take a break. Never say never. I don't want to demonize birth control because it gives women so much freedom in their sexuality and their sexual expression to do what they want. And I really do think it was a great thing for me at the time. All I'm trying to do, and like my whole goal with sharing what's going on with me and why I made this decision, was to just share resources and things that I'm learning with other women who might be in the same boat as me, feeling like hey, I don't know if I want to be on this birth control forever. I feel like it's kind of messing up the inside of my body and the way my body regulates itself and all these things. I'm not demonizing birth control. If you are sitting here listening to this episode on birth control thinking, oh my God, you are so irresponsible for sharing this information. You don't know what you're talking about. You're not a doctor, blah, 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 blah. That's fine. You can turn this off and I will not be offended. I also won't be offended if you try to send me a message on Instagram about this. I simply will not respond because I'm not entertaining people judging me for sharing my journey. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not telling you to get off birth control. I'm just talking about my experience because I wish somebody talked to me about theirs a little bit more, because I think it would have set off some alarm bells for me earlier and I could have avoided a lot of these issues that I was having in the last couple years of my birth control. So anyways, I just wanted to throw that out there because I've posted some stuff on Instagram about this. I've shared infographics from other creators talking about birth control, and I just get some really nasty messages. People like, I'm in med school and you're not qualified to be saying this stuff and blah, 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 blah. And you're like, I'm like, okay, I'm not giving any medical advice. If I was, then yes, you're correct. I'm not qualified to give medical advice. I'm just talking about my life and what I'm going through right now. And it's not really your place to be in my business saying, you know what, you're not qualified to say this, whatever you want to say. Keep it to yourself. You can unfollow me. I will not be offended. You don't have to announce that you're unfollowing me. I don't know why people feel the need to do that, but it's just very strange. People feel very entitled to your life when you share it online. I'm just trying to talk about the things I wish somebody talked to me about, okay? That's all I'm doing here. I'm sorry if it offends you, but I just wanted to throw that in there because I know I'm gonna get at least one nasty message about this, talking about how I'm irresponsible and like spreading, you know, fake news or whatever. Anyways, where was I? Let me backtrack here. That was kind of all of the events leading up to me getting my birth control taken out. I got it taken out February 25th of 2021, and today is April 20. Oh, hello. I got it taken out February 25th, 2022, and today is April 29th, 2022. So it's been about 2 months, and I just kind of wanted to talk about what I've noticed since then, how my journey with tracking my basal temperature is going, what my plans are moving forward, and issues I'm still experiencing, things I feel better about, kind of all of those things. And I also asked you guys to leave me any questions about it on Instagram. So I'm going to do like a little, so I'm going to talk about this a little bit more, and then I will answer your questions that I didn't already answer in this portion. So, like I said, I've been using natural cycles as a form of birth control, and it's been a little bit challenging because I've just gotten off the pill. It takes your body anywhere from a couple weeks to a couple months up to a few years to get back on track on your regular cycle because so much has changed in your body. And being on birth control, the way that it was explained in a book that I read was, basically, it is putting your body under an acute amount of stress all the time, and it goes into detail about how that releases cortisol and your adrenal glands over time stop responding to that cortisol because it's like, look, dude, we get it, you're under stress. So your adrenals start functioning in a way where they're not listening to other parts of your body, and there's just a lot of disconnect in the way that your body is speaking to itself and other parts of your body because of the synthetic hormones that are in your body. So I'm not gonna try to explain too much about the science aspect of it because I will trip up my words and I don't wanna spread the wrong information, but I highly recommend reading if you wanna learn more about the scientific aspect of this and like the specifics. I would recommend reading or listening to the audio book or regular book, whatever. I would highly recommend the book Beyond the Pill by Dr. Jolene Bright. She's amazing. And I didn't follow the Bright program, but I did learn a lot about the book. Another thing that I would recommend, which I'm still working my way through, is the podcast called Are You Menstrual? And I would start with episode one, so the first ever episode, and work your way up. They talk about how like each episode builds on the last, like in terms of information. Super educational. I'm learning so much. They talk about everything from the basics down to the nitty gritty of it all. So I would really recommend checking that out if you want to learn more about like specific phases of your cycle and what's really going on in your body and how you can support that and all that stuff. I've learned so much. I've been taking so many notes and just applying them to my life and seeing how it works. So I really like that podcast, but I want to talk about what is going on with me and what I'm doing personally. So natural cycles, taking my temperature every single morning. I've had one withdrawal bleed and I currently am on my period. It's super light, but this is the first period since I've been off my birth control and I'm so excited about it. I'm doing little claps for myself. Very exciting. And it's just been interesting because on top of like tracking your cycle and stuff on natural cycles, it also has you input information like, what your mood has been like, what your skin has been like, any other symptoms that you're having. And I don't think that it takes that into account in the actual algorithm. It's just based off your temperature. But it's been interesting for me because I don't really pay attention to those changes day to day. But putting them into my app every single morning really makes me feel like I'm just paying more attention to those things. I've been more mindful. And on top of natural cycles, we are also using condoms when we are sexually active. And by we, I mean my boyfriend and I, because I'm in a committed relationship and he's been really, really supportive of this whole experience that I'm going through right now. That was kind of what we decided. Keep that in mind if you're not in a relationship and you're having casual sex, that's totally fine. I'm not here to tell you that that's wrong, but keep that in mind and just like weigh your options when it like you want to be with somebody who's going to be supportive of what you're going through, even if it is a casual relationship. So make sure you're on the same page. I would highly recommend two forms of protection, or like not two forms of protection. I'm not saying double up on your condoms. I'm saying like, so you have your natural cycles. That's one way you are like, you know, using birth control and then also using some form of protection so that you're also not risking potentially getting pregnant as you transition off birth control. Your body is going through a lot of different changes and there's no telling what could happen. So it's always best to have that peace of mind and, you know, just have that extra form of protection. So that was kind of the biggest question I've been getting, like, what are we using in terms of protection, natural cycles, and condoms? Is it my favorite? No. Is it fine for now? Sure. It's really not that big of a deal. It's definitely new for Tristan and I because I've been on birth control since we've been together. It's not something we've really had to use up until this point, but that's where we're at right now, and we're both comfortable with it. We've had a lot of conversations about this change that I'm going through, and he has just been so supportive and really just wanting to make sure that I'm comfortable and that this was the right decision for me. So I've been really thankful for that, and that's been the biggest change or the biggest difference in terms of my actual sex life when getting off birth control. Okay, my mom just called me and it ended the recording and I wanted to talk to her because they're on vacation right now, so apologies. So we're going to pick up where we left off and talk about things that I've noticed since getting off birth control, mentally, physically, kind of all of those things, what I personally have experienced. So another big reason that I wanted to go off my birth control was just mental health issues I had been having pretty much since I got on it, and I didn't want to attribute all the mental health issues to my birth control because I'm sure there were multiple factors that contributed. And I'm not trying to demonize birth control. I really wanted it to work for me. And I know there are so many people out there that they don't feel as highly affected by all of these side effects that I experienced. So more power to you. I'm jealous, girl, but this is my life, my journey, and kind of what I've experienced. So biggest thing that I've noticed in terms of my mental health is that I'm so much more patient. Patient with myself, patient with Winnie, patient with Tristan, patient with other people that I don't even know. Like just being out in public, I would find myself getting aggravated very easily. Like when people would cut me off while I was driving, or when I was at the grocery store and someone was in my way, or just like little things like that. Like obviously I'm not overreacting and getting like incredibly mad and verbalizing it to this random person that I don't know. But I would just have a lot of internal dialogue that was very irritated, very aggravated, just had a hard time with that. In terms of my relationship, I'm much slower to react to things that trigger me. Like if Tristan's doing something that makes me feel triggered, I'm not like jumping down his throat, like yelling at him or telling him he's pissing me off or kind of just being over dramatic like I often was before. And it's not to say that it's gone away completely, but for the most part, I feel a lot more patient. And personally with myself, I'm slower to, I don't want to say get up in the morning, but I don't feel so rushed all the time. I felt like I was rushing myself 24/7 before. I would feel rushed to do my morning routine, rushed to get on my phone, rushed to do my work, rushed to get to the store. I just felt like I was rushing everywhere, and I don't feel that way anymore. I'm so much more patient. I just kind of more so go with the flow of my day. And if I wake up one day and I plan to edit something or take content or whatever, and it's just not in the cards that morning, I don't beat myself up about it. I'm not like, oh, you lazy piece of shit, you need to get this done. You're worthless. You're not doing anything for yourself. You're being lazy today. If I need to take a lazy day on a Wednesday, I will make up for it on a Saturday. And instead of spending my entire day Wednesday beating myself up, telling myself I'm doing something wrong, I just take the day to relax. I do what feels good. I lay around. I read my book. I go for a walk. I go to the gym. And I don't really worry about, I mean, obviously, if there are pressing matters or if I have a phone call or something, I need to get on it and be present, I will. But I'm not going to force myself to do something I don't want to do, and I'm not going to beat myself up for it. I'm just kind of taking it day by day and going with the flow of how I feel that day. I definitely feel like my energy is more stable throughout the day. I also have to attribute this to drinking matcha most days over coffee, but generally I feel like I'm not like super hyper in the morning, crashing midday, having some more caffeine or not, and then picking it back up at like 6 or 7 and having like high energy until 10 and then really having to like make myself go to bed. I feel like I wake up feeling rested. I go through my morning routine at my own pace, might be different from the day before, and that's totally fine. And then I start my work day. I take a day or take a break in the middle of the day to take Winnie on a walk, finish up my work. I've been exercising pretty regularly. And then when Tristan comes home, I'm ready to eat. I'm winding down. It's been great. Another thing I've noticed, my appetite is more steady throughout the day. I eat in the morning, I eat at lunch, and I eat at night. And I know that sounds pretty basic. And it's like, yeah, Natalie, everyone does that. But I was not doing that before. I would wait until like noon or later to eat breakfast, and then I would have like 3 meals within the span of like 5 hours, which for me personally was not great. If you're intermittent fasting, fine, whatever. But I do highly recommend you listen to the Nutrition Myths episode of Are You Menstrual? I think that's the episode. One of the first 3 episodes, they talk about intermittent fasting, and like all of the studies that have been done on it are usually by men or women who are not cycling naturally, which means they're on birth control. So very interesting take there. Just that nutrition episode in general is great and has taught me a lot, but intermittent fasting isn't for everyone. And I was doing it unintentionally just because my hunger cues weren't right. But I've definitely noticed my hunger cues are more on point now. Another big change personally, since I recorded that first episode, Bye Bye Birth Control, I was not working out at all then. I literally took like a 2.5, almost 3 week break from pretty much any exercise outside of going on daily walks, just because I was having a lot of anxiety about going back to the gym. I was having a lot of body image anxiety, and it was just a messy time in my head. But since then, I have been exercising regularly. My main form of exercise is still walking. I take long walks with Winnie every day, best part of my day. I love going on walks so much, and I think being in Colorado helps because the weather is so much nicer than it ever was in Ohio, so I'm more inclined to get outside. But I've been working out at the gym, like strength training, 2 to 4 times a week, depending on the week. I recently just started Pilates, which is literally the hardest fucking thing I've ever done in my life. Like, I have been lifting weights consistently for 7, almost 8 years now, and Pilates is so hard. The first class that I did the next day, I literally could not walk. Like, not even, oh, I couldn't walk straight. No, I couldn't walk, period. My core was so sore, my glutes, my hamstrings, my calves, like it was so painful, but I loved it. I've taken a couple more classes since, and it's been so fun, a great challenge for me. I love moving my body in a new way. I've also had a lymphatic drainage massage 2 weeks ago almost, and it was fantastic. I definitely want to go back and get more because I think you have to get a series of them to like really see the benefits overall in your life. those are some things I've been doing personally and like physically in terms of my weight and body image. I haven't weighed myself, but if you did listen to that first episode, you know that I stepped on the scale at the doctor's office and I didn't want to see what the weight was, but I ended up seeing it on the paper that they sent me home with. And I was really, really bummed out. I quickly spiraled because I had gained like 25 pounds since we'd moved. And I stopped weighing myself a while ago for a lot of different reasons, but it was really getting to my head was the core of the issue there. So I stopped doing that, and I knew, like, it wasn't a secret to me that I had gained weight since we moved. I could physically tell, but seeing that number really, really bummed me out and was a big reason why I wasn't working out, because I was spiraling and in a very dark place mentally about my weight, about my exercise habits, just about my body in general. It was kind of shit. So since then, I still have not weighed myself and I don't plan to, but I definitely noticed my body changing. I feel stronger. I feel a little bit leaner. And biggest of all, I feel less inflamed. I feel like I'm holding on to less water. I feel like my digestion is better and that I'm just not so, like, I just felt like I was holding on to a lot of what I was putting in my body, even if it was healthy. I wasn't having, even though I've always had pretty regular digestion and no issues with that, knock on wood, it just felt like I was carrying a lot more weight than I was before. Still kind of true, but less so. I definitely feel less inflamed, still inflamed and swollen, but less. And my body image has been better. I've been feeling more confident in my clothes since I've been working out again. I think that's been helping too. Like, I know my body really hasn't changed much since I stopped working out for like 2 or 3 weeks, and I've been back on my normal schedule like I have been for the last 7+ years. But I have noticed that when I work out, I just feel better about myself because I know I'm treating my body well. And when I was laying around, I just kind of felt, for lack of a better word, lazy. And that was reflecting in my body image and what I was seeing when I looked in the mirror. I've just been generally less body focused, physical appearance wise, and more about how I feel and what's going on in the day to day and how can I serve my body best this day? Do I need to work out? Do I need to go to a class? Do I need to lay down on the couch and rest? Do I need to go for a long walk? Do I need to just stretch today? Asking myself those questions, being more mindful about what's going on inside my body has been a huge change for me. And I finally feel like I understand what that means to like listen to your body, and that understanding is growing and growing every single day. So that's been really great. Also, my upstairs neighbors are stomping around, so I'm sorry if you can hear that, but we're going to get through these questions real quick and wrap the episode up. I hope this has been, you know, informative so far, just giving you things to think about with your own journey, with your reproductive rights, because we're all different. We all need something different, and that is totally, totally fine. And I think it's important to honor that. I just want to share my experience for anyone who's kind of in the same boat or feels like what I felt like before I got my birth control taken out, and just, you know, ask yourself those questions, ask your primary care doctor those questions, and make sure that you're advocating for your own health and what's going on in your own body, because nobody knows it better than you do. Doctors can tell you things all day long that they think are right for you, but at the end of the day, it's your decision to make, and it's really important and valuable to be connected with your body in that way and be able to interpret what your body's telling you, because there's only so much you can learn by going to the doctor's office. I think that the technology that we have available to us and that doctors are able to interpret for us is incredible. But if you don't know what your own body is telling you, those graphs and tests and results only tell you so much. Like, you don't have the full picture. You're missing a piece of the puzzle there if you can't listen to your own body and be able to interpret what it's telling you. So that was kind of a ramble, and I don't know if it was very clear, but I hope so. So that's kind of been my experience so far, and I'm going to go on Instagram and read through the questions and see if you guys asked anything that I didn't already answer in this episode. First question from Katie. I kind of touched on this, but I want to elaborate a little bit more, and she asks, have you had acne flare-ups, hormonal acne? What is the severity of it? I've had hormonal acne basically since 2019, comes and goes, it definitely got worse September, October, November time through the time I got my birth control taken out. Now I'm not really having a ton of active breakouts unless I'm about to get my period. However, I do still have some dark marks from my hormonal acne. I just had my first microneedling treatment in a while. I've had like 5 or 6 back when I lived in Ohio, which really helped clear up the dark marks. So I plan to have a couple more of those to kind of get rid of them, but I haven't had any severe breakouts post birth control. Besides when I'm about to get my period, I'll get like a couple pimples here and there, but they come and go in a few days and I don't really pick at my skin. I used to have a super bad habit of that in high school, but I've gotten a lot better, so I don't pick at my skin. So I think that helps with minimizing my breakouts. The more you pick at your face, the more you're spreading that bacteria around and you're likely to get other breakouts. And I noticed that when I do pick at my face, I almost always get another breakout nearby because I'm spreading said bacteria, and that's just not good. So haven't had too many issues with that since getting off birth control. But again, everyone's different. I'm going to keep reminding you of that in this episode because I don't want you to take what I'm saying to be your truth. You have to experience these things for yourself and decide what's going on with you and how you want to proceed forward. But personally, haven't had any severe breakouts post-birth control removal. Next question, what are you doing for extra protection other than natural cycles? Do you truly 100% trust it? I know I already touched on this, but yes, we are also using condoms. I don't 100% trust natural cycles at the moment, and that's not because I don't think that it's 100% trustworthy. I just think that I've been off birth control for 2 months and my cycle is really irregular right now, so it's still regulating itself. I don't think that we will stop using extra protection, probably at least for another year or so until my periods are super consistent. And even then, I don't know. I mean, I can't say what I'll be doing a year from now, but between natural cycles, condoms, and most of the time, we use the pull-out method as well on top of using a condom. So I feel pretty safe and smart about it. I mean, I don't want to sit here and say like, yes, 100%, I know that I'm not going to get pregnant, because, you know, you make a plan and then the universe says, yeah, you thought, and I don't want to jinx anything because I don't want to be pregnant. But, with the frequency that I am sexually active and the other protection methods that we're using, I do feel confident that it's as effective as the hormonal birth control that I had in my arm before. Next question, how accurate is natural cycles? Is it worth the money? Are there other natural methods? It's pretty accurate. I'm not going to sit here and give you the whole spiel of natural cycles. You can go on their Instagram, you can download the app, it will tell you everything you need to do. It does cost money. It's like a subscription based, so they send you a thermometer, and then for the first year, I just did a whole year subscription, it was $89 for the year, which if you're on birth control or you're paying for birth control or you're not, I feel like $89 for a non-hormonal birth control where I can learn what's going on in my body and how to regulate it myself is personally worth the money for me. I know that there are other like apps, other brands, other companies out there that do something similar, so explore your options. I just heard really great things about natural cycles from people that I know personally, which is kind of how I stumbled upon it. So do your research. I know that there are a ton of other methods. I think you, as long as you buy the thermometer, I mean, you don't even have to buy natural cycles thermometer. If you buy a basal thermometer, you can probably keep track of it yourself if you do enough research on like what changes to look out for. But basically, your body temperature rises by a couple degrees when you're ovulating, which is how they tell like how you track out your cycle on top of you manually inputting your period. But that's like the basic explanation. There's a lot that goes into it and their algorithm and all that stuff. So I encourage you to look into it yourself and decide if it's worth the money for you. Personally, for me, it is. And to answer your question, are there other natural methods? Yes, there are other brands, companies, like I said, but you could do it completely by yourself if you really wanted to. And I'm sure that there are a lot of like herbal remedies and stuff you can use as quote unquote natural birth control. Personally, that wasn't a route that I wanted to go at this time as I let my cycle regulate. But in the future, never say never. I can't say what I'll be doing 5, 6 years from now. Okay, this is a 2-part question. Already answered the first. How reliable is this form of birth control? And how did I go about talking to my primary care physician about this? This is a great question, so I wanted to touch on this. So my gynecologist. I've been seeing her since I first got put on birth control. I want to call her a sweet lady because she has been up until me telling her I wanted to get off birth control. And then she kind of became very judgmental. And I don't believe that doctors should express their own judgment on you. Their job is to inform you of all of your options and like help you in your decision making, but not make judgments on your decision. I really did not like how she handled that. She made me feel like I was 100% going to get pregnant as soon as I got off the pill because it's the only way to prevent pregnancy and it's the only way to like manage any symptoms that I'm having. And she also really, really downplayed the side effects that I was telling her I was having, basically saying like, oh, that's probably coming from something else. And she's not entirely wrong. Like, there's got to be other factors at play, but for a doctor to deny that me having an implant in my arm that's putting synthetic hormones into my body isn't causing at least some of these side effects that I'm feeling, from weight gain to skin breakouts to depression and anxiety to having a pretty high temper when it comes to like minuscule things setting me off, like, that was just so frustrating to hear a literal medical professional basically dismiss my symptoms when they're the ones that are supposed to be helping me. Like, it's just really frustrating. So the conversation wasn't easy, but I really am somebody who sticks my ground. It doesn't matter who I'm talking to. I will stand up for myself. I will speak up for myself. And I don't let people walk all over me. I don't let people's opinions, I mean, I let them get to me a little bit, but I don't really let them sway my decisions. So I basically said, look, I really appreciate all of your help, but at the end of the day, this is my decision and this is what I want to do. And I'm not ruling birth control out completely, but for right now, this is where I'm at and this is what I want to do. And I'm sure she thought she was doing a good job, and I don't want to demonize her completely because she did a really good job, like putting in my implant twice, taking it out, making me feel comfortable in that experience. But when the portion of the discussion occurred where she was like, what are you going to be doing now instead if you don't want to be pregnant, like, how are you going to handle this, she didn't really give me a whole lot of information on natural family planning. I learned a lot about that on my own, but she did kind of validate me in that moment. She's like, okay, you're doing natural family planning, will you also be using condoms? And I said yes, and she kind of just shook her head, noted it on the paper, and then we got on with the removal portion. So it wasn't my favorite, and I will not be going back to her. I would like to find someone else now that I'm in Denver. I also should mention that the gynecologist I was seeing was in Ohio, so I did go back to Ohio to get it taken out just because of time purposes. Like, it was really hard for me to find a doctor here that took my insurance that I could see as soon as possible, whereas Ohio, I could see her within the next couple weeks, and it was a good opportunity to go home and see my parents and everything, so it wasn't too much of a hassle, but wasn't comfortable. But I would just say, stick your ground, and at the end of the day, you're the one who has to live with your decision. And I know that might be a little bit harsh, but like, your doctor is going to see 10 more patients that day, and they're probably not going to think much about you or how you're doing 2 or 3 weeks down the line when you literally have to wake up in your body every single day. Like, you should feel empowered to make your own decisions and not let somebody else, even if they have a degree, tell you what is right for you if you know inside, deep down, you feel that what they're saying isn't right for you. So I don't know, I could harp on that for a really long time. My degree from college is in health sciences, which has a lot to do with how our healthcare system functions, and I don't really agree with a lot of how American healthcare is carried out, from different policies to insurance to just the medical model that we have in general. So I try to explore my options and educate myself outside of the doctor's office, so I have different questions and things to discuss when I am in the doctor's office. So do a lot of research before you go to your doctor so that you don't take everything they say as your truth, kind of what I was talking about before. Just because I'm telling you what happened to me doesn't mean it's going to happen to you. And like, if you do the same exact things that I did, or you feel the same exact way as I did before getting off birth control, that doesn't mean that this is going to be your experience as well. Same as what a doctor tells you isn't always going to be 100% true for you. You kind of have to try it out for yourself and see what works and see what doesn't. Next question from Melise. When did you get your period when you got off birth control? Did it take a few months? So like I said, I'm only 2 months out About 3 weeks after I got it taken out, I had a withdrawal bleed and it was incredibly painful. And if you don't know what that is, go ahead and do a couple Google searches on it because I don't think I'm going to explain it exactly right, but it's not the same thing as a period. It's a way that your body is regulating itself post birth control. It's also what women who take an estrogen and progesterone pill get every single month. You're not really having a period. It's just syncing up with the hormones you're putting in your body, and it's referred to as a withdrawal bleed. So I had one of those right afterwards. Cramps were super bad. Bleeding was super heavy. Not great. And then I'm currently on my period right now, and it's similar to a period that I would get on my Nexplanon or before Nexplanon. It is really light. I don't want to get too graphic because it's just kind of gross, but like, I'm not having a lot of blood, if that's makes it any more clear. It's pretty light and I'm not having a lot of blood. It's more like small clots and some blood. That's as graphic as I'd like to be for your sake. But it's 2 months post, and I went like 50 some days between my withdrawal bleed and this period. So that's been kind of interesting. It's taken some time, and I'm sure my periods aren't going to be every 28 days after this one right away. It's going to take some time. Next question is from Sabrina, and she asks, would you ever consider going back on birth control? Yes. And I know that might sound like a surprise to most of you listening to this episode because I sound like I hate it, but I'm not going to rule it out for myself just because I've had a bad experience thus far. I'm just at a point where my body has changed a lot since I was 18. I'm turning 24 in a couple months. So I just wanted to see what would happen if I got off of it, if the symptoms I thought were coming from birth control subsided at all, if they don't subside, and I just find that tracking my cycle and using condoms isn't something I really want to do anymore, I would definitely consider getting back on it. I don't think I would get Nexplanon again. I think I would go with the non-hormonal IUD, which I mentioned before does have risk, just like every other birth control, but I think that would probably be my option. I'm not sure though. But I'm not going to rule it out completely because I don't want to have to bite my tongue on that in a few years. But for right now, I'm going to give it at least a year off birth control, probably more, and see how it goes. But that is the plan. Another question from Sabrina, high points to hit when talking to your partner. Be honest, first and foremost. Don't try to fabricate it in any way. Speak your truth. Say what you need to say. Say how you've been feeling. Just let them know. Maybe preface before you talk to them, like, hey, I'm having a really hard time with this, and this isn't easy for me to talk about, but I really need to get it off my chest, and I just want to share how I'm feeling with you. And then everybody's high points are different. Talk about the things you're struggling with the most. For me personally, Tristan knows that I have mental health issues. This is no secret to him or anyone else. He has seen me at the worst of worsts. And I think that was a big point for me to touch on. I really think that this could make a huge difference in my mental health. And that alone, I think for both of us, was a big point that we were like, that alone is worth doing, because Tristan is so supportive and so helpful and has been a huge part of my mental health journey, but it takes a strain on him too. Like, it's hard to be in a relationship with somebody who has mental health issues. That's just the facts. It's another thing that you have to, it's another layer of the person to deal with. And I'm not saying like deal with in a bad way, but you can't be in a relationship with someone who struggles with their mental health without feeling affected by it yourself. And I don't mean that in a harsh way. I'm so grateful for Tristan, and I don't want anybody to feel like they're being attacked, but you have to be honest with yourself. Like, the way that you are in a relationship with another person affects the other person. Just like your boyfriend or girlfriend affects you, you affect them. So that was a big point that I hit on. And the other thing that we talked about was just like me having a low sex drive, which was honestly kind of an awkward conversation. But Tristan's like, yeah, I noticed, and I don't want to like be rude or say anything to you about it, but I've definitely noticed. I think that was another point that we hit on in the conversation that meant a lot to both of us, and was another thing that we were like, look, this is a sacrifice we're both going to have to make with the condoms and the temperature taking every single day. Obviously he doesn't have to take his temperature, but me. But those were two of the big talking points. And then also just talking about how uncomfortable I feel in my own body. The weight gain feels weird. My skin is just horrible. I have really low self-confidence. And he was super supportive and just heard everything that I had to say, agreed with me. And not that it was his decision at all what I do with my body, but he was on board and supportive and just like made me feel like whatever I needed to talk about or get off my chest or like just what was going to change with me in the next couple months to a year or two, he was on board and ready to support me when I needed it in the future and in that moment. And it was just a very affirming conversation to have with him. So definitely just have confidence. If you have to, maybe write down the things you want to talk about beforehand or talk to yourself about them or a friend, and then have a conversation with your partner if you're feeling really uncomfortable about it. But those would be my high points. Next question comes from Andy. Did I get my hormones tested? I have not yet. And I know in the first episode I said I was going to do it in March. It's just been really hard to get my insurance switched over to find doctors close by. Like I could drive 2 or 3 hours to get it done, but I just really don't want to do that right now. So we're working on it, and I am going home in a month or two. So I considered doing it then. I am going home next month for a few days. So I did consider getting my blood tested then, but right after I go home, I'm coming back to Colorado. And then like a week or two later, we're leaving for a month long road trip. So I didn't really want to get my blood tested and then try to find a physician like later. I'm planning to do it in July or August just because there's a lot going on. There's a lot coming up, and I didn't want to, you know, try to be on some strict protocol in my diet or supplementation or, you know, like workouts to help reduce my inflammation and work through the imbalances that I have in my body while I was traveling. So we're putting that on pause for a little bit. I'm not too stressed out about it because so far my body hasn't totally freaked out post-birth control. There's been some minor changes, but I'm waiting until like July or August just because it lines up better with my personal life schedule. Okay, that is going to be it for this episode. I just finished scrolling through the rest of the questions and I seem to have answered all of them in this episode, and some were repeat questions from ones that I just answered. So we're gonna leave it at that. I'm thinking in a month or two, I'll do an update of kind of like what I've been, other changes that I've noticed in that time and like what I've been doing and how I think it's affected me. Truthfully, I think 2 months is a little bit too short, and I haven't been completely consistent in all of the different things that I'm trying. Plus, I want to see a holistic doctor in the meantime, get my blood tested, all those things. So after I do that, maybe I will do an update episode. I hope this was really helpful for all of you guys. I enjoyed sitting down and talking to you today. My stomach is grumbling. I need to go eat some breakfast. I was just feeling really motivated to record this at 8:30 in the morning on a Friday, so I don't know what's up with me. Today is a good day, and I hope that you're having a good day. Thank you so much for listening. And if you're still listening, please feel free to leave this a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It helps me grow. And you can also share this with anyone who you think might benefit from this episode or from this show. I've been loving seeing all of the new faces on the podcast Instagram and just seeing the numbers every week of all of the listeners. It's so cool that you guys are just listening to me talk to myself in my living room right now. So thank you so much for being here. I love you all so much, and I hope you have a fabulous rest of your day or rest of your evening whenever you're listening to this. I'll talk to you next week. Bye.